Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Grant, he's Danny, this is The Fan. We're with you until 12:30 today. That's when Charlie and Dave's pregame show starts, the broadcast at 1:05, 2 hours away, right here exclusively, as Pete just told you, on 106.7 The Fan. We'll get back into the Redskins and their quest to get the preseason started with a win in New England tonight, coming up in about 13 minutes. But right now, I want to talk Nats Braves with you. Is this game going to decide Washington's fate? Very simple question. There's a lot of baseball left after today, obviously. But if they drop 3 out of 4, are they done? Couple of notes going into today. Bryce Harper did hit his 28th home run of the season last night. He's now hitting .340 with 11 doubles and homers and 17 RBI in 18 games since the All-Star break. He continues his tear. He entered the break hitting .214. He's now hitting .235, so he's upped his batting average by 21 points since the All-Star break, 4th in the National League in runs, 8th in the league in homers, 6th in doubles since the All-Star break. He's hit safely in 7 of his last 9 games. Ryan Zimmerman has now hit safely in 6 of his last 9 as well. He's hitting .420, 13 for 31 during that time. He has recorded 4 multi-hit games in his last 9 games played. Good to see Zim starting to turn his season around. Since the break, he's been a much different offensive piece, and Ryan Zimmerman, because of that, is in the lineup today, batting 6th and playing first base against Aníbal Sanchez.
They're 9-5 in the last 14 games, despite losing these last couple. That's .650 pace. You do that over a full season, you win 100 games. That's really good. They've gained 0 games in that stretch. That's the problem. That's the issue. That's why April games matter. That's why May matters in June. And you give yourself a cushion, a chance to have down stretches, a chance to deal with Steven Strasburg going on the disabled list. This math doesn't really work in their favor. The fewer games left, the harder it is, obviously, to make up ground. Nothing revolutionary said there. If they win, it doesn't mean they're winning the division this year, because you still need Steven Strasburg back and being Steven Strasburg to do that.
Fair.
They need a bunch of things to come right.
But, Danny, if they play at the level that they have, that winning percentage the rest of the year with the games they've got left against Philly and Atlanta, they probably would win the division.
You've got more than a puncher's chance because you match up against those teams. So you win 9 of every 14 games, regardless of the order of operations to do it, you've got a really good shot.
Easier said than done.
Easier said. If you lose today, though, again, I think if you end up losing 3 or 4 when Philadelphia just went through a tough part of their schedule, okay, they're in Arizona now. They lost the first 2 games of that set. They've got some easier games on the horizon. The Braves have a tougher schedule than do the Phillies, but we went through that a little bit yesterday. I don't think it's over necessarily, but again, they just keep running out of mulligans. You keep running out of escape routes. There's still a route to get to the end of the maze where you go ridiculously well against the Braves and Phillies the rest of the way, but it just gets harder and harder.
Bryce Harper was hit by a pitch last night in the upper calf shin area. It was the second time in a few days he's been hit almost on a bone in the leg by a pitch. He told Davey Martinez after the game he felt fine. Martinez said he might be sore getting here today. He was originally in the lineup, and he has now been scratched. So he was going to play center field and bat cleanup. Now he will be out of the lineup, which means presumably that Michael Taylor will play center, and they'll move Soto, Zimmerman, and Murphy up in the order and have Taylor probably ahead of Wieters and Gonzalez in the bottom third. Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. I said before this series, and I'm going to stick with it, I'm not going to kind of go back and forth here, if they dropped 3 of 4 to the Braves, I would, for the first time all year, at least momentarily kind of close the book on the idea that they're going to catch the Phillies, that they're going to catch Atlanta. However, they can change that, as you said, by doing what teams have done all season long. Good teams like the Red Sox, who have won 9 of their last 10, or Pittsburgh, who won 11 straight. Not that good of a team, frankly. They can get hot. They can turn their season right back around. But I will, for the first time this year, if they lose today, say it's not going to happen. It's not their year. And make them prove me wrong over these next couple of weeks. So I think this is a game in which they are playing for the postseason in some way. Let's go to John in Charles County on line 3. Wants to get us started. What's up, John? How are you?
Good, Grant, Danny. Love your show, man. Look,
thank you, buddy.
I know you guys moved on from this Gibson thing, But it was just announced by Entertainment Tonight for the 2019 Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
And he's on the top of the list.
Amazing.
Oh, he's going to be DWTSing? Is he Dancing with the Stars, baby?
Dancing with the Stars.
Wow.
Amazing. Amazing.
Greg Gibson, everybody.
You know, can you imagine that sexual chemistry? A stud like that with him and just a gorgeous female? Oh, that's going to be great.
If the judges hurt his feelings, he's going to toss them.
He should.
He'll run him.
He should say, give me the name of one of those guys. Bruno, right?
I have no idea.
Thank you for the call. He's going to say, Bruno, you're gone. See ya. That's very cool for him because, you know, what's difficult about umpiring is so often these guys who really the game revolves around and the game's about, they work in anonymity, and it's unacceptable. You know, so often they leave the ballpark, and only a few fans will come up and greet them and get their signature and tell them how much they love them. You know, Gibson told me one time that he only took 17 selfies at a game at one point last season. It was his low for his career. That is tough. I don't want him to not be known, so this will help boost his Q rating as it should. Billy's in Kingstown, I believe. What's up, Billy? How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, buddy.
Wow. Where do I start? I don't think they're out of it. Charlie and Dave said last night they have 48 games remaining. That's a lot of games to make up some ground.
It is.
But they can't do anything if they perform like last night when they go 1-for-16 with runners in scoring positions. Twice they left the bases loaded.
Yeah.
They've got to push around runs like that. And Harper, it seems like when he has runners on base, he strikes out. When the bases are empty is when he hits his homer. So we got to change that as well. He has, yes, since All-Star break, started hitting to the opposite field. But, some things have to change with that. And getting to the ump, thanks for breaking the news the last segment because I went right on StubHub. The cheapest ticket I could get was $1,500 in the nosebleeds.
No. You got to take out a mortgage.
Where are you going to sit, Billy? Where are you going to sit at the All-Umpires game?
It'll probably be up in the game day seats, $5 tickets, but wow. I paid $1,500 for them. I'm going to get there for the pregame with the King of Kingstown and Danny down on the field, and once you all leave the field, I'm leaving the stadium.
Okay, you're not going to stay.
See you at the Turtle.
I'm glad, buddy, that you are coming to the game. Thank you so much. That's my guy, Billy, who works at the Green Turtle in Kingstown. And that's a place that I frequent because they
You're
make
me
delicious grilled wings. That's what they do. I say, hey, can I get my wings grilled, not fried? And they say, yes, absolutely. Speaking of Greg Gibson, we're taking a little selfie right now with a listener. And we're doing it in a weird way because the camera's flipped around, like facing us. Can you give this guy your headset, please, Dar? I need to get to the bottom of this right now.
I need to know why it was so hard for this gentleman to get a picture taken.
Absolutely.
Well, it ended up being the entire segment.
Put him on air. You're coming on air with us. Yeah, you're coming on air. We like
you. Ready,
sir?
Come on.
You've got a good beard. You're wearing a cool hat. There's a dog paw on your hat. What is that hat? Is that Clemson? What is that?
No, this is not Clemson, by the way. This is my college, Adrian College Baseball.
Oh, really?
Out of Michigan.
Okay, very cool. Welcome to the Grant and Danny radio program. So you were walking by with your son here, who looks like he's a stud baseball player. Is he play at Stafford Travel
All-Star
Ball?
Last year, yes, sir.
Very cool. I'm from King George County.
I understand
So
that.
I know a thing or two about Stafford, so that's cool. So then you were going to take a picture, but then you ended up doing a selfie pose the wrong direction. What happened there?
This is my demonstration of inability to handle electronics.
Okay.
With my new phone, inability to get it off of selfie mode. So
gotcha.
It was a debacle.
Thankfully,
this is not TV, so no one can see
I'm going to be honest.
That was.
With you, sir, it didn't look good. If people were passing by, there was a lot of perplexed.
You were so confused.
Your poor son was holding a smile for about a minute and a half until he finally gave up and then just looked like one of those old-timey pictures where they couldn't afford to smile because it took 10 minutes to get a photo
done.
How did
the picture turn out?
I have no idea yet. I've not seen it.
Do you know how to find the picture in your gallery?
I do know how to find the picture. We will find that before the holidays, I'm sure.
Wow.
Are you guys huge Nats fans or more just baseball fans in general?
We are baseball fans in general. We are Nats fans. This is his first game.
Nice,
really?
Buddy.
Very
so.
Cool.
Nice.
You know what they do, actually, because I had a buddy bring his kid for the first time. They give this neat little it's like almost, I don't want to call it a receipt, but like a item that you can for years like display. So it's like a certificate for your first ever Nats game. You get that for him.
I will get that for you.
Yeah, it's very cool. And then you remember the day you were there, and hopefully.
Yeah, don't take a picture of it. Just get the actual hard copy.
We'll avoid the picture situation.
he'll see something cool today, because that normally happens. Maybe a big home run from Juan Soto, or perhaps he'll just get to say, I was there when Greg Gibson umped third base.
I heard, yes, that's what we're home for. We are on a third base side.
Oh, wow,
look at
you're
you.
So close to Greg Gibson.
How did you do it?
Amazing.
Luckily, my good friend Brad Marshall let us have his tickets today.
That's amazing.
But we are looking forward to getting a close-up and maybe even a selfie with the all-behold umpire.
Greg, he's got to take another selfie today.
I know. Get it ready early.
Tell you what, Dar, will you follow him around all day long and get that picture?
Will
of
you take
Greg
pictures
Gibson?
Of him trying to take pictures?
Seriously, though, thank you for coming by.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate
it.
You listening.
You
What's your name,
show.
Buddy?
Meet you guys.
What's his name?
Zach.
Zach, you're awesome. Keep
Have
playing
fun,
ball,
buddy.
Dude. I want to see you at Nats Park eventually. Grant and Danny here on 106.7.
Boom me right off. You see that other gentleman?
Danny.
Wanted to meet you, but not me. That was great.
Oh, that was an all-timer.
That was great.
Do you want to say what just happened?
Sure.
Or no?
So there's a gentleman standing right next to us as we were talking to the father and son team who looked like he wanted to shake both of our hands. Turns out it was just Grant's hand. And he extended, shook Grant's hand, and I went out for a handshake as well. And he turned and ran.
That was so terrible.
He ran a go route right away.
In
from me.
That had nothing to do with like wanting to meet me over you. It was just a completely awkward moment where the angle he had, I think he didn't see your hand being extended.
Well, regardless of how it went down, my hand was out for a handshake, and he didn't take it, and he ran away. No one's ever gone faster in any direction. That was Carl Lewis, 92, in Barcelona, one of the 4x100 away from me.
That was an all-time moment.
So there we have it. Hey, I feel pretty good about us. Had some nice July ratings. You've arrived. No, you haven't. No one cares about you. Ladies and gentlemen, my career. I can't wait to go home.
Settle down, guy. You're making way too much out of that.
No, you saw what happened.
That could have been anybody. If I was sitting where you were sitting, it would have happened to me.
Well, it happened to me, and I'm going on vacation. I'm going to Stewie Griffin about this for a full calendar week.
We're Grant and Danny. You are listening
Blew
to the fan.
Right
the
Listen
Redskins
the
play
Grant
a show. Real football game tonight.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Danny Ruye, boys and girls. That Danny Ruye.
Yeah.
We'll discuss that game right here on The Fan next. You don't want to miss it. You're locked into Grant and Danny, and Gil in Woodbridge wanted to chime in. What's up, Gil? How are you?
What's up?
Hey, buddy.
This is the best show on The Fan.
You're
down.
A sweetheart.
Hello?
You're a kind soul. Yeah, go ahead,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Hey, I was wondering who had the quicker exit, the ghost handshake from Danny or Bruce Allen from you when he ran away?
Great question.
Screaming, there's a Hall of Famer. Who had the
By the way,
exit?
Gil, just so you know, when people think it's a bit that Danny was the good King Richard, he was literally cursing during the break under his breath and multiple times said to me, do you understand? Over, like, you're like, he had eyes for
sensitive.
You. That was his quote, by the way. He only had eyes for you. Do you understand?
The viewers love you, Danny. Don't worry.
Oh, you're a sweetheart.
They do.
Now, this happens, right? This is a normal thing.
Thanks, Gil.
Where somebody will recognize Grant, not me, or me and not Grant. It happens more the first way, obviously, because Grant's got so many TV gigs. He's everywhere. It's all part of it. I have no problem with somebody coming up and being like, oh, Grant, I remember you from this, or Danny, I remember you from that. That's a normal thing. What happened, I realized the hurtful part is that I thought he gave a damn about both of us because he was lingering around. All he was doing was staring at Grant Paulson. And it wasn't even about, Curtis, I'll shake the guy that's obviously affiliated with Grant in some way here, wearing a headset like a sweaty jackass, next to the apple of my eye, Grant Paulson. No, no, no. I'm going to move right past that and then sprint away like Bruce Allen stuck in a conversation.
And what I think happened was, I think that it was strictly a bad angle. I think that he was prepared to shake both of our hands.
He created that angle.
He was kind of walking away, and I was further along the table. He reached out and shook my hand.
Yep.
And then Danny very excitedly threw his hand out there with some pace to it so that he could get his hand out there before the guy got away, and he just didn't see Danny's hand.
Because he didn't want to see it.
Right? I think that's what happened.
No, not at all. That's not at all what happened. It was Danny's version of events. He literally was walking by. I was sitting here because the other guy was sitting down. He did not notice either of you guys were sitting here. He turns and hears a radio show, sees that it's Grant, points at Grant, and walks right by the kid up to shake Grant's hand,
correct,
and then walks away.
And then walked away.
But you agree with me that if he saw Danny's hand, he would have shook Danny's hand.
No.
Man, well, who knows? He wouldn't leave a man hanging. But here's the point. He created the angle so as not to see my extended hand. Because all he was doing was shutting his body language, shutting me off, pivoting, closing that left shoulder, facing down the gun barrel, down the gun sight. His target was Grant Paulson. It was not Danny Ruggier. Certainly wasn't Brendan Dar. Certainly wasn't the kid that we were speaking with. It was you and you alone. That's why he didn't see my hand. That's why he didn't shake it. And that's why it'd probably be best for me to wait under this table until I die. Bruce, that's why it'd be great.
Bruce Allen got away from me faster than that guy got away from us, to answer the guy's question.
Where did Bruce move quicker? Super Bowl, when he was stuck like a lab mouse in a cage?
Super Bowl.
Or at Richmond?
Super Bowl. He ran a 4.440 at the Super Bowl. He ran about a 4.7, 4.68 at training camp. And for those of you that aren't familiar with this story, I'll make it really quick because some of you have already heard it last week. Basically, the deal is we're at training camp. Bruce Allen is like 15 feet away. And I always try to have a conversation with Bruce Allen.
It's one of my favorite bets.
Because it annoys me, frankly, that he doesn't have conversations with us / like people.
Right. He goes on like San Diego station, Sirius XM.
I'm not talking
Tennessee
about doing an interview
station
with me. He doesn't like us, which is fine. He doesn't have to like us. But I don't like when people just don't interact as humans. So I'm going to, if you want to say make it awkward, you could say that. I'm just going to talk to the guy because he's a person. That's what he is. So I'm going to just say, hey, Bruce, how you doing?
That person so is a person.
It just so happened that particular day I actually had something very nice to tell him, which was that my wife, who is a season ticket holder with her brother, had gotten her tickets sent in the mail. And her tickets came in this box and were done in a way apparently that they haven't been done before. I don't know anything about it, but I know that apparently – she was very complimentary.
Excited about that.
She texted me and said, you won't believe this box. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Cool. Very neat. So I told Bruce, or I wanted to, that she was very excited. So I tried to call him over, and he, like, went and talked to a bunch of other people. And eventually, he was walking past me, and he goes, still want me? And I was like, yeah. And he basically did a thing where he wasn't going to stop. He was just walking right past me like, what's up? And you can tell when someone looks at you if they hate you. And he very clearly hated me.
There's hate in those eyes.
Maybe in that moment, but certainly all the time. And so he's looking at me in a way that he wants nothing to do with me. And he's walking right past me, and I'm kind of looking up at him. And I said, Bruce, real quick. And he keeps walking. He's like, yeah? Conversations don't happen at full speed. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right.
So like, I kind of like angle in front and kind of stop him to like everything I could do other than like reaching out and just stopping his progress.
No physical contact was made, but you shattered
him. I wanted to tell you a quick story. And you could tell he was just completely uncomfortable with this.
Sure, what is it?
So I told him about my wife and the tickets and everything. And he's like, oh, you're kidding. Well, that's just great to hear. And then he goes on this thing for about 30 seconds. He was actually very pleasant for the next 30 seconds of the conversation. Telling me about how some teams are thinking about doing electronic tickets and not actually having ticket stubs. And you know, I don't know if I like the idea because people like the ticket stub from what we've been told by our season ticket holders. And so we're having this conversation. I'm thinking, this could go down as my first two-minute decent conversation with Bruce Allen since he called me into his office once after a couple years on the beat to ask, what can I do to basically improve the way that you guys feel about your relationship with me? Not 106.7 The Fan, but the media.
Yep.
I gave him some tips, none of which were executed thereafter, but you know, whatever. He at least had the conversation.
Sure.
So this was going to be our first great conversation, right? We're 30 seconds after the original start of the convo. Everything's going very smoothly. And then he sees Hall of Famer Willie Lanier.
Great linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs, played for Hank Stram, happens to live in Richmond.
And he goes, yeah, so there's teams that are doing this with the tickets. There's the Hall of Famer! Looks at the guy and just completely jogs away from me as fast as possible. No goodbye, no good talk, no, hey, thanks for telling me that. No, see, just whatever you would normally do to end a conversation, that didn't happen.
That didn't happen.
So that speed, greater than the guy's speed who Bob timed you a second ago.
Certainly did. And that's one of my favorite moments. I was just sort of on the practice field doing the not watch, watch thing where I'm clearly watching what's happening.
My favorite thing is when you go away. So when we're standing together and I'm like, I'm going to go talk to Bruce. And you legit like walked over to where Nick Sundberg was standing around and just stood with Nick Sundberg for a while.
Pretty much, yeah.
You stayed as far away as possible.
Yeah. So I can't handle it. I can't handle it when you do that thing where you're like, even though you're correct, I'm going to have a conversation like a human being. It's still so painfully awkward for me. I can't be part of it. like when you corner Jason Worth in the dugout at spring training. I almost had an incident in my pants out of fear. And when he said wrong bleeping answer to you about where our outlet was, you know, like where we were from, I almost had like a seizure of discomfort.
I enjoy that moment, though.
That makes one of us.
I love it. I revel in it. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. I mean, you can't, because like if someone is a jerk to you, it's not personal, right? I mean, they're just in that moment, they don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
So it's not like you take offense.
But it's different. I don't mind asking Steven Strasburg at spring training, hey man, you got a second? Him going, no, I throw in 6 days. I can't. I gotta go. I don't mind that. I that's part of the job. But the like, knowing that somebody hates my guts, and here, right. Here I'm going to see the Twins, Basil. Hey, Bruce, what's going on, man? I don't know why you became a weird British enthusiastic
kid. I was a British
kid,
man.
But like, you're walking around, Brucey, what's going on, man?
What's funny?
How are you, mate?
It's funny you say that, because when I talk to Bruce Allen, I do the little British boy. So I say, Bruce, it's me, it's great. It's so good to see you again. My wife got tickets, and she loved the box they came in.
Could you say she's ever so excited?
She's ever so excited.
Ooh. Oh,
Bruce, you're doing a wonderful job.
There it is.
Grant and Danny on the fan. Sage Rosenfels on the rookie quarterback class and what we can expect to see from the Redskins and the Patriots tonight. What did he think about week one of the preseason when he played? You're listening to the fan. Grant Paulson, Danny Ruye, 106.7 the fan. Happy birthday to Redskins legend and senior VP of player personnel, Doug Williams.
Oh, nice.
Birthday today.
Won me a Super Bowl.
Like Doug Williams, Sage Rosenfels played quarterback here in Washington, also played for the Dolphins, the Texans, and made a couple of late stops in his career with the Giants and Vikings. He's in Minnesota area still now covering the Vikings, and of course an Iowa guy, went to Iowa State and had a double-digit year run in the National Football League. I love his work. He writes at The Athletic, and he's really smart when it comes to breaking down the quarterback position and the NFL. And it's always neat to get him on Grant and Danny here in D.C. Sage, you're on the fan. I want to start with week one of the preseason. As a player and as an analyst, if it's two different answers, that's cool. How did you view that first game? Because we're going to make so much out of tonight. It's going to be small sample play and just not a lot to delve into, but you know how this is going to work. There's going to be a lot of grandiose statements made.
Yeah, you know, I think what's interesting about the preseason, at least from my perspective when I was playing, every game, it all depended on playing time, and every game was different. So, you know, coming up from my angle as a third-string quarterback for my first few years, then a backup number two guy for the majority of my career, that first and second preseason game, those were huge because the starters barely play, which means I was going to play probably the second and third quarter. This was going to be the sort of bulk of my action that I was going to get during the preseason. I was going to probably get, you know, the fourth quarter of the third game and maybe a start in the fourth quarter in the third game, and maybe, you know, a series or two in that fourth game, then let the sort of the youngest guys play that fourth game. So these first two games for a backup like myself, they were huge because it sort of set the tone of what the entire organization felt about you going into the season. It set the tone of when you get a chance during the season that the team already has, you know, sort of respect for you and confidence in you from these first couple preseason games. And so, you know, from my perspective, the backup guy, they were huge. Now for a starter, you can go out and go, you know, one of three for, you know, no first downs and a punt and you're done for the night. It's not a big deal. You're not really going to win or lose anything in these first couple games. But for the backups, these games are absolutely huge. And yes, there will be grandiose statements probably made on, you know, some of the high draft picks, the first or second rounders, if they play really well or not. I tell you, I usually played really, really well in the preseason. Somehow those games did not get me monster contracts.
Sage, this league makes people look stupid all the time. Prognostication and the parity, we're always surprised as a team goes worst to first or something like that. And the NFC East, for example, hasn't had back-to-back division winners since 2004 when the Eagles did it. But I keep looking at this NFC, and to me, and the math won't work out this way, obviously, but I see 12 teams, I feel like, that are capable of winning 10 games. I just feel like the NFC is so stacked, including the NFC North, where you are. Who's going to end up kind of the short end of the stick here on some of these teams that think they're going to compete? Hint, hint, Washington is one of those teams that just may not be able to get over the hump on some of these.
Well, that's how it goes, it seems like, a lot of times, is you have, you know, like the NFC East is a great example. I mean, you really do have four quality ball clubs, and anyone could probably win the division. But it usually comes down to an injury here or there. I mean, look at the NFC North. Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. Packers are immediately done at that point. You know, Aaron Rodgers stays healthy. Packers will probably win 10, 11, if not 12 football games. And so those key injuries are big aspects of, you know, that sort of divide teams that are, you know, going to win 9, 10, 11 games and teams that don't have a chance at the playoffs. So the NFC is absolutely fantastic. All the games are going to be fun to watch this year. The playoffs in the NFC last year compared to the playoffs in the AFC were vastly different. You sort of just knew that the Patriots were probably going to be the AFC team that made it to the Super Bowl. The NFC, it was anyone's guess. So, yeah, NFC football this year is going to be really, really fun to watch. And it's going to be, you know, a sort of a blink of an eye, a turnover here, an injury here, a missed field goal at the end of a game, maybe even week three or four that, you know, it changes the difference between an 8-win ball club and a 9 or 10-win ball club down the line. So the difference between getting the playoffs and not getting the playoffs in the NFC is a blink of the eye. And if you blink, you will miss your opportunity this year.
Sage Rosenfels knows a thing or two about that, was in the league for over a decade, and he joins us on Grant and Danny. We saw one of the five first-round quarterbacks already play in Lamar Jackson of the Ravens last week. There's a dozen games tonight around the NFL, so we'll get our first peek at some of these kid QBs. I wonder who you like the most, who you're worried the most about this year. Mayfield with the Browns, Darnold with the Jets, Allen with the Bills, and Rosen with the Cardinals. Whose situations do you like most and least of that crop?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I tell you what, I did like Baker Mayfield the best coming out. You know, I'm a Big 12 guy, Iowa State, so I watched him play a ton of college football. And, you know, he has this sort of attitude, maturity issues. But as far as accuracy and decision-making and playmaking ability and doing a lot of pro-style concepts and making pro-style throws accurately, he did that the most of all of these guys. The problem is he's probably on the worst football team of all these guys. So, you know, it may not matter how good Baker Mayfield plays this year. The rest of his team hasn't been that good in the past. So I'm excited to see them all play. I do like the Josh Rosen situation in Arizona. You know, he's sort of like Mayfield. I thought he's an accurate quarterback. He's a smart quarterback, ran a lot of pro concepts at UCLA. He'll also will probably have a chance to sit for at least a little bit, maybe half a season, maybe the entire season, depending on what Sam Bradford's situation is down there with the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals aren't a great football team. It's a very good division, the NFC West. But I do like Josh Rosen's situation in that he's playing in a dome, you know, good weather, which is what he's used to. He's behind a veteran a starter, and he may not have to play right away, which I always prefer for them to sit at least a few games, if not a half a season.
Sage Rosenfels is with us here on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. What do you make of holdouts, Sage? As a guy that played this game and now covers it, I can see both sides. As a player, you're going, man, the way they treat us sometimes, where they cut us if they don't like, you know, the way we looked at somebody in the parking lot, versus, man, we need you here to help build some wins, to help build a team culture. How do you view them?
Well, that's a very tricky situation, and I saw those things a lot. And, you know, so let's get one thing straight, though. You know, players that rookies that have not signed contracts are not holdouts. I never like it when that word gets sort of thrown around for rookies. They haven't signed a contract yet. They were drafted. Contract hasn't been agreed to. You know, they have to agree to something before they get into camp. Then you have the veterans who truly are under contract and holding out. And that happened a few times in my career. And my thoughts are this. Once you leave college, you're no longer an amateur athlete. You are a professional. This is your business. This is your life. This is your, you know, your one chance to make as much money as possible. I don't get in somebody else's business. You know, even though they're teammates, and I'd like to have them here, and you'd like to have everybody on board. At the end of the day, this is a business. We're all individual contractors, and I never liked getting somebody else's business and trying to tell them how to deal with their contract.
Sage Rosenfels on Grant and Danny. You can tell why we like having him on the show. He's a sharp guy. You can check him out in The Athletic. Sage, thanks so much. Really appreciate the time. Enjoy all of the preseason action tonight.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Football is back. Officially, football is back. I think that Hall of Fame game, sort of. This is the first night I'm really excited to watch some ball.
That's right.
24 teams in action. Enjoy it, buddy.
Happy New Year. Enjoy it. There's Sage Rosenfels on Grant and Danny on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Each and every day at this time, we'll give you a double play. We've also got a multitask because the Nats have released their new lineup. Remember, Bryce Harper was scratched So we'll tell you, there's some major changes to what they got going on in the lineup today. Next, right here on The Fan. Our double play comes your way in just a few minutes. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports right now, though. Got to pass along that the Nationals did make a change to their lineup. Bryce Harper was originally going to bat cleanup and play center field. That is not the case anymore. He got hit by a pitch last night. Davey Martinez said he'd have to talk to him again when he got in today to the clubhouse, and apparently that conversation ended with Martinez not feeling like Harper could go and give the team his best today. So here's the new lineup for the Nationals. Adam Eaton, a left-handed bat against a right-handed pitcher, is generally going to hit at the top of the order. Works counts, sees a lot of pitches. He's really good against right-handed pitching. I didn't realize this until yesterday. I looked up his splits last night because I was wondering. Remember, he didn't play in either of the games of the doubleheader.
This is the new thing that he's not in there against lefties?
Right. Well, so I didn't see this, but how many at-bats do you think he has against lefties this year?
Man, that's hard to guess. 50?
23.
Wow.
So basically, and I know he was injured, but kind of platooned him for longer than I've noticed. Now, that's not to say that they did it all the time, because there were a couple weeks where he was playing every day when he was white hot. But I think they've basically viewed him as a platoonable option for the last several weeks. Anyways, Eaton's going to bat leadoff. Trey Turner is going to hit second and play shortstop. Juan Soto, who got ejected last night, is back in the lineup hitting third, playing left field. He's got a .308 batting average. Anthony Rendon is your cleanup batter, not Bryce Harper now. Rendon looking for home run number 17 as he wraps up this homestand today, the third baseman. Daniel Murphy has been ice cold. He's really hurt the Nats over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Big spots, he's come up. Zimmerman's been white hot in front of him, and he has not been able to get the big hit or drive in a run. He's moved up in the order to the five spot. So he's going to be sandwiched between Rendon and Ryan Zimmerman. And the hope for Davey Martinez maybe is that you can see a fastball and that you can get something out of him. Zimmerman bats sixth. Michael Taylor now in center field will hit seventh, replacing Bryce Harper. Matt Wieters, the catcher, back in the lineup hitting eighth. He's been stinging the ball last couple of days.
Couple of hits last night, yeah.
Last night. And Gio Gonzalez, the lefty, will bat ninth. So Eaton, Turner, Soto, Rendon, Murphy, Zimmerman, Taylor, Wieters, Gonzalez, your lineup for the Nats. What'd you think of Wieters having a lengthy conversation with our beloved friend Greg Gibson last night when he came up to the plate, very obviously furious about him throwing out Soto and showing some veteran leadership?
He's got to contribute somehow. And a couple different times he's been allowed to hit for himself. Now, granted, he's swung the bat well over this last week. Even his out to end the game the other night was a sharp line drive that could have gone for extra bases, you know, foot in either direction. But Davey Martinez has repeatedly not pinch hit for him, not pinch run for him because of the perceived, and it's harder for folks to quantify, but his late game value is as a receiver, is as a catcher, a guy that knows the hitters, knows the scouting reports, knows the feel for the game, the pitching staff, et cetera. So this is how he has to contribute. 210 hitters who strike out a ton and don't make a lot of sharp contact, even though this week has been good, have to find a way to do something. Good for him for stepping up and doing that, a guy that's been around this game for a while.
He is going to have to throw his weight around the rest of this season as a offensive force if he's going to be a starter in the major leagues next year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no other way around it. You call a good game, you're a good receiver, you're good in the clubhouse. I mean, that's kind of the backup catching vibe if you're going to be hitting around 200. He's got enough power to run into some fastballs and hit some bombs, as you mentioned. He's got to do that the rest of the way. So he, like several of these players on the Nats bench, are going to be competing from now until the end of the season to try to get themselves a job somewhere, whether it's in Washington or elsewhere, next year. Let's get to our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We'll go blitzing around the Beltway on the Redskins playing tonight. The Nats big game at 105, a little over an hour away at noon, so don't miss that. 10 minutes from right now. Dar sent me this yesterday, so I'll give him the John Wall assist. Change is coming to the Oscars. Now, you don't watch the Oscars. You don't care about the Oscars.
Correct.
I love watching award shows, and particularly I love the Oscars more than any of the rest of them. I understand its flaws and its problems, but I enjoy celebrities. I enjoy seeing everyone get dressed up and Jake Gyllenhaal manicure his beard perfectly. And I love movies so much. I'm not quite Kevin McCarthy, but I love going to the movies. I like watching movies. Outside of sports, my favorite pastime on the planet is cinema. And so I like the Oscars and always have. The presentation has not been very good for a lot of reasons. They're trying to clean a couple things up. Number one, they're adding a new category that's going to be designed around achievement in popular film. Basically, this is for the movies that everybody loves that are not Hollywood-centric or do not elicit the right emotions from all of the critics who care about, you know, this actor showing range and doing this crazy role or all of the great acting. If it's just a really funny comedy or it's a slam dunk action movie, and I saw Mission Impossible yesterday, which was fantastic. Whatever movies people love the most, like a popularity award, that's going to be honored. I think that's actually a really cool idea.
How do you view it? Because when I first saw this, this to me doubled down on everything that I hate, which I know will be a shocker to you.
I was going to say that's the least surprising thing I've ever heard.
But let me sell you on why. Include it in your regular categories. The idea that this is, okay, we'll now have an award for the idiots. We're so far removed that the only thing that's going to win for us is a triple-dubbed subtitle French film that's silent, that features 17 minutes of looking out of a rainy window, and that's who we're making it for. Critics making movies for critics that have nothing to do with regular population.
And movies like Gladiator and Braveheart.
Right. So they've gotten further away from those over the years. Lord of the Rings won, and that was awesome. That's one of the last times it's been relevant. So now you get popular movies that are great. Like you said, Mission Impossible. You get Infinity War. Everyone goes to see it. Everyone loves it. Everyone loves Black Panther because it's awesome.
Right.
Never mentioned here other than, like, art design, special effects. They made Wakanda pop. Sound design. Things that you don't care about, right? Instead of including them in the regular categories, they made a special there category. It's like if you and I competed in a writing contest because neither one of us is a great writer. And it's like special non-professional writing prize for two non-professional writers. And it's like you won at a much lower and insignificant division for the mass populace.
The Shape of Water was a very good movie. You probably didn't see it.
No.
Okay. Did you see Moonlight?
No.
Okay. Did you see Spotlight?
No.
So you haven't seen the last three movies that won the Academy Award for Best Picture.
Correct.
And you're hammering the movies that win Best Picture.
Correct. Because Shakespeare in Love won over a good movie.
So you'll never watch, like, Oscar bait movies again?
No, you're trying to make this where I'm the bad guy. The thing that I'm saying is right.
I'm asking you questions.
If a movie looks appealing,
did you see
I'll
12
go
Years
see
a Slave that
no,
won?
No, I haven't seen it. I actually would like to see that.
Did you see Birdman?
No.
Okay, so we're back to 2012. Did you see Argo? One of my
yes.
favorite movies.
Did Argo. I liked Argo.
Fantastic
it was good.
Movie. So you really liked the last movie you saw that won the Academy Award for Best Picture, which was in 2012, 6 years ago.
Sure. So the movies that are big and wildly successful, so here's a fact, basic fact. Huge movies that make a ton of money that are awesome that everybody likes. They don't get included until now.
Did you like No Country for Old Men?
It was great.
2007
Great
winner.
Movie.
Did you like The Departed?
Yes.
One of my favorite movies ever. That won in 2006.
That was Best Picture in 06?
It was.
I didn't know that.
It was. It was actually the first time that famous director's name
Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese won a Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, those are some of the recent winners. Million Dollar Baby. Remember that movie?
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
Okay. That won. That's not artsy or weird.
It was a little artsy and weird. It was a little. We went in for a boxing movie, turned into a lecture on.
Also, a very
other
good
stuff.
Movie.
Yeah, it was a good film.
So I don't know. I mean, your point, your opinion's never going to change. Rather,
this
you're
isn't
kind
an, this isn't an opinion. They created this category for. They created this category for a reason. You're acting like it's this vacuum,
but
didn't do it.
I guess my point is, you hate like the movies that win the Academy Award, but you've just said you didn't watch most of them. I think you would like a lot.
I'm not saying I hate those movies. I'm saying. The award show, the most pretentious, yeah. haughty nonsense that we have, just basically said, okay, fine, for the regular unwashed masses, for the peasants, the movies that you idiots like, we'll create you a special category to get you to tune in to our four-hour self-congratulation fest.
Right.
It's insulting. It's pandering, right? Because the movies that they, the things that they honor, the things that they want to tell you about, and they lecture to you in the most condescending possible way about what you're supposed to like, it's... To me, it's insulting. Sometimes it matches up and you get a great movie.
Very easily.
Right.
You know? So I watch that and I kind of enjoy it. It's their thing. It's like people, they get really mad at players getting voted in or not getting voted into the hall when, like, if the writers own the hall, this is the Academy Awards. It's their awards. So your prerogative is not to watch it. I think that's perfectly within your rights.
Sure.
But it's their awards, so if they don't want to have that category, they don't have to. I actually really like that they're going to because it does give a chance to some of those other movies that, as of right now, based on the categories, are never going to be honored.
Right.
So I think it's good. It's progressive. It's smart.
It is nice that they'll finally have some kind of inclusion for comedy, for horror movies, for action movies. The things that people like. Regular people. I know my opinion doesn't count as much as some dude from the Academy, but it's nice to know that like, you know, the talent and range of an Eddie Murphy might finally get appreciated before he has to go and do Dreamgirls. The fact that he acted all seven people around the table in Nutty Professor, which is incredible, finally get some recognition.
Yeah, and hopefully that's what's going to happen now. But I like it. I think it's a good sign. I know that you don't, and I get that too, but we'll see. It's going to be 3 hours, by the way. They're not going to let it go past that.
That's nice.
They've said that in the past, so we'll see if they can actually do that. And supposedly it's going to be on Saturday night, 6 days after the Super Bowl.
Oh, man.
Used to be on Sundays, some of the changes they're making to the Oscars. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Our Beltway Blitz is next, covering the Nats, who need to win today, and the Redskins, who play their first preseason game tonight, jam-packed into one segment.
I got hot deals. I got hot deals. These are just into my electronic mailing box from my friends at Ted Britt Ford. I'm going to tell you about them. It's Danny Rouillet for Ted Britt Ford. 0% financing, 72 months, plus $1,000 on the Escape, the Explorer, the Edge, all the e-cars. Not like E, like is in electronic. I'm talking about cars that start with the letter E. That's the letter of the day, baby. 0% APR, 60 months, plus $10,000 off the F-150. F-150 is as low as $18,999. 2018 Ford Explorer. You can lease one, $299 a month, or that 0% APR we talked about, plus $1,000. Ford Escape, lease one, $199 a month. The EcoSport, rather, lease one for just $179 a month. And how about this? This is fun. You want to have some fun? I'm into fun. Ford Mustang, lease one for just $269 a month. And when you buy from Ted Britt Ford, you know what you get. It's Ted Britt for life. That's lifetime vehicle coverage. New, pre-owned, doesn't matter. Anything less than 100,000 miles, they take great care of you. I'm a two-time Ted Britt customer. Take it from me. It's Danny Rouillet. Go see my friends at Ted Britt Ford. And when you go, tell them Danny sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.